Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There's two lovely scriptures I'm going to read to you just now, and I want you to really particularly take notice. It's from Romans 15, and they're beautiful verses of scripture. Romans 15 and verse 5. And it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? It's really speaking personally to us this morning. Paul wrote this to the first century Christians, a number of whom were living in Rome, and he says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement, so God gives to us endurance and he gives us encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been doing this morning. We had a wonderful time of praise and worship together in unity. And then verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What another beautiful verse of scripture. Let me read it again. May the God of hope, so not only is he a God who gives us endurance and encouragement, our God is a God of hope. Isn't that wonderful? He hopes always for the best. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Amen. We could do with a bit of that, couldn't we? Paul's praying, and I'm praying for you and for me, that God, the God of hope, will fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My message this morning, I'm going to talk about the difference between discouragement and disappointment. We live in an incredibly discouraging age. Have you noticed that? We in the West, particularly in West Australia and Perth, we have been protected over the last couple of years from so much. But worldwide, a lot of discouragement out there. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people have lost their loved ones. While I'm talking to you now, there's literally hundreds of thousands of people in hospital from this horrible disease that's going around. And many, many, many have died, bringing heartache, pain, discouragement to literally millions and millions of people. We live in a world where we can so easily become discouraged. We don't live in a very encouraging world. We want to, but we don't. And a lot of the people get disappointed. Now, I can't see very well this morning if you raise your hands, but I'm going to ask you, how many people this year, and I want you to really enter into this, how many people this year have been disappointed with something? Hands up. Let me have a look. Ooh, that's just about most of you. Okay. How many of you right now are disappointed with something that's happening right now? Hands up. Let me see. Come on. That's most of you. So right now, a lot of you people here are disappointed. Can I just say that being disappointed is not a sin? It's not wrong to be disappointed. We get disappointed because we don't see things happening the way we want. We get disappointment because of things that are happening in the world. We're disappointed because of tragedies, heartache, family, marriage breakdowns, illness. We get disappointed from so many things. But can I say, if you're disappointed with something this morning, that is not a sin. Let me tell you, God himself is disappointed. When he's looking down on this world, do you think God's encouraged? No, he's disappointed. In fact, way at the beginning, God himself said, I'm sorry that I even made man. Look what it's turned out to be. There are some theologians who believe that God cannot feel anything. It is impossible for God to feel emotions, because he's almighty, all-powerful, is a great creator. Therefore, he is above the emotions that we go through, and he cannot feel anything. I've told you before, I don't know what Bible they're reading, but it's definitely not the one I'm reading. Because right at the beginning, God says, I wish I'd never made man. I'm so sorry that I put man on the earth. How many of you know that's an emotional feeling? God gets emotional. God is love. That's an emotion. God gets emotional. So God is disappointed. I think the Holy Spirit, as he moves around the world today, is disappointed. He's disappointed with the heartache and the pain and the suffering that he sees. He's disappointed with the violence and the rage and the anger that he sees. God gets disappointed. The Holy Spirit gets disappointed. Jesus, when he walked this earth, was disappointed many, many times. Disappointment is not a sin. So if you're disappointed with something this morning, then it's not a sin. But can I say this? There is a very fine line between disappointment and discouragement. The next step from disappointment is to move into discouragement. People become discouraged because of disappointment. Thousands have fallen because of discouragements. Hopes, dreams, aspirations, expectations of youth fade with the invasion of time and circumstances, and disappointment comes. I'm getting on a bit now, but believe it or not, I can still remember when I was a teenager. In fact, although I'm getting on and my body looks as if I'm getting on, I saw a photograph just a couple of weeks ago that was taken of me baptizing a young lady, and it was with one of my elders in Armidale. And this person showed me, do you remember this, Pastor John? She says, when you baptized me. I looked at it and said, no, I don't. Who's that man with that lovely black long hair with sideburns coming right down there? She said, it's you, Pastor John. I said, no, it's not. I know, but the funny thing is, even though you're getting old, you don't think old. The old people were saying that. The young people can't imagine it. But I'm telling young people, when you get old, you still think you're around about 25, 30. You think young. Well, you like to think you do. But when you're setting out in life, you've got aspirations and dreams. You want to do this, you want to do that, you want to be this, you want to be that. And a lot of those aspirations and dreams over the years tend to fade because life gets to you. Life becomes hard, toilsome, unbearing. People go through all sorts of problems and trauma, and every little problem tells on you. Disappointment upon disappointment upon disappointment upon disappointment. And if you're not careful, it can lead to discouragement. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And often we have to defer hope because the things we hoped for didn't happen. What we wanted to be, what we wanted to become, never happened. I mean, everybody, when they go to the altar to get married, they believe what they're saying to each other, that I love you with all of my heart. I give myself to you. And different people have different things that they say. And I have married, I don't know, scores and scores of people. And I'm sure every person, every couple that I married, they meant their vows when they said them at the time. But then life moves on. The honeymoon finishes. Kids come. All sorts of things happen. And many get divorced. What happened to that love? What happened to that hope, where did it go? How did it dissipate? How did it change? The beautiful words that they spoke to each other at the altar. What happened? Often they find themselves in law courts, vilifying each other, looking to see how much they can make out of each other. How sad. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But I want to say this to you. You can't always control what is happening around you. And you can't always control what is happening to you. But you can control what happens in you. Now let me say this again. You can't control what is happening around you. I can't control this virus. I can't control the circumstances that are happening because of this. I can't control the things that are happening around me. You can't always control what is happening around you, and you can't always control what happens to you. People may put you down. People may dislike you. People may have a go at you. People may bully you. You can't always control that. But what you can control is what happens in you. I must not let the things that are trying to control me on the outside, those things that are coming at me, I must not let those things control me on the inside. I must not let my joy and my peace and my hope be painted by the disappointments that I see. If I take all the disappointments on life that I see around me on board, if I take them on board, my joy will go, my peace will go, and my hope will go. And just because I'm a minister, or have been for many years, doesn't mean I don't know what life is about. I remember once a lady telling me, as I was, she was going out of church one Sunday morning, and I was in Armidale preaching. I was about 40, 44 years of age at the time. And as she goes out, she said, "I don't agree with what you've said this morning, young man." She was an older lady. And she said, "I don't agree with what you've said." And she really gave me a brow beating. And she called me young man, and that upset me more than anything else. I said, "I'm 44. I'm not a young man. I've got kids. I know what death is. I know what suffering is. I've been there, done that. I understand." But she said, "No, you're a minister. You don't know what life is really about." That's what she said to me. I thought, "You stupid woman." I didn't say that. I didn't say it, but I thought it. How can you say somebody doesn't know what life is about? We all know what life is about. We all experience the hardships, the highs, the lows of life. We know it. And if we're not careful, we let those highs and those lows of life come in and rob us of all the good things that God has given to us. Now, I'm addressing to you online, and to you in here this morning, people who are Christians, people who were born again. I'm addressing you, people who've started life with Jesus. I'm not addressing people who go to church, because that doesn't make you a Christian. You can go to church every day of your life, and it won't make you a Christian. I'm addressing people who are following Jesus Christ, who have been born again, people who say, "I have decided to follow Jesus." People who get up and say, "Give me Jesus." When you get up in the morning, give me Jesus. You go through the day, give me Jesus. And if I die, give me Jesus. They're the people I'm addressing. You've been saved. You're a Christian. Now that you're in God's hand, God has given you some beautiful things. And Paul is reminding them of this in this beautiful message where he says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace." And a lot of the people he was writing to were slaves under the regime of Rome. They were not wealthy people. Many of them were peasants. Some were wealthy. But a lot of these Christians had nothing. And he's saying to them, "God is a God of hope. May he fill you with peace and joy." Hallelujah. You see, friends, what God gives you, when God gives you peace and joy, that hasn't come as a result of success in your life. It hasn't come a result of a good marriage or good kids or good health or a good job or money in the bank. You can lose all that. You can lose it all as a Christian and still have joy and peace because it's a gift of God. Nobody out there, nobody outside of Jesus Christ can lose those things and still have joy and peace. They can't. Because their joy and their peace depends on their finance, on their health, on their family, on their circumstances. They want everything to go right, to be right, so that they can have joy and peace. But when the things go wrong, they've lost it. They've let the things that they can't control on the outside become something they can't control on the inside. But Christians shouldn't be like that. Amen. Amen. Christians, you've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. You've got Jesus Christ. He brings joy and peace. And it does not depend on the circumstances of life. It is a direct gift from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't come telling me I don't know about life. I know about life. When you're in the ministry, for as long as I've been in the ministry, you see death many times. I've been at death's door. I've been with people when they've died in agonizing pain. I've seen death many, many times. I understand suffering and pain and agony. I've seen broken families, broken marriages. I've seen terrible circumstances where people have buried their children. Seen it. Took many, many funerals. It broke my heart. Disappointed me when I see the suffering that is out there. So I know what life is about. I've got a wife right now that's in a nursing home with dementia. Been married to her for 61 years. A couple of weeks ago, it was our wedding anniversary. I took her a card and sat her down and I said, look, it's our wedding anniversary. I ain't got a clue. She's just like a vegetable. Doesn't know what I'm saying. The wife I've loved for 61 years and still love with all my heart. I don't understand that. Don't tell me ministers don't know what it is to have pain and suffering, because we do. But I refuse to let the circumstances that attack me on the outside get a hold of me on the inside. I refuse to become a victim of my circumstances. I'm going to always be, by the grace of God, a product of the cross. Let me say that again. I refuse to be a victim of circumstances. I choose to be a product of the cross. Hallelujah. I follow Jesus. Now, let me just tell you, I'm following somebody that's been rejected. I'm following somebody that the world hates. He is rejected of men, says Isaiah, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we had our faces from him. I'm following him. I'm following the one the world crucified. I'm following the one the world disowned. I'm following Jesus because I've found in him truth and love and peace and joy and sincerity. I found in Jesus somebody who will reach down his hand and keep on picking me up. Glory to God. I refuse to be discouraged. Now, discouragement can start with disappointment. Disappointment is not sin, but discouragement is. Stephen brought a message this morning, very strong message. Maybe this morning there's people here that are down. Feeling discouraged. Can I say something now? Disappointment is not a sin, but discouragement is. I'm talking about Christians who've allowed the circumstances of life to suck you in, to suck you down, to take away your joy and your peace and your sense of security, and you become a discouraged person. I meet a lot of discouraged people. Do you know a discouraged person can't sing? Or they can sing with their lips and their tongue, but they can't sing from their heart. Do you know, as you watch people singing in the pop scene, many of those people, their lives are shattered. They're on drugs. Marriages are broken. They're trying to climb a ladder. They don't know where. But and do you know a lot of those people can sing beautiful songs. They can get the tune absolutely right. They can hit those high notes and those low notes. They can make you feel so good with the songs that they sing. But it's coming from their lips. But in the heart, there's not a song. Did you hear that? In the heart, there's not a song. I believe singing should come from the heart, not just the lips. And it's quite possible that some of you in here this morning, I don't know, I'm not judging anybody, I'm saying it's quite possible that some of you sang these songs, but you sang them with your tongue and with your lips, but the heart had no part in it, because you allowed discouragement to come in. And it's discouragement, if you let it come in, it will rob you of joy, of peace, if you let it. The word discourage, it means to lose heart. That's what it means. To lose faith. When you're discouraged, you become absolutely suicidal. Because you lose heart, you lose faith. And a lot of people then lose the will and the desire to live. How sad is that? Don't be discouraged. By all means, be disappointed. No problem. What is the secret, if I am disappointed, from not slipping into discouragement? What's going to stop me? Because disappointments amount. See, I have asked you, how many has been disappointed this year? And nearly all of you put your hand up. And right now, nearly all of you put your hand up to say you feel disappointed right now as things are happening in your life. Could be to do with work, home, family, sickness, money. I don't know. But you're disappointed. And those disappointments can mount and mount and mount. What is it that stops the disappointment from becoming a discouragement? Where you just lose hope, joy, peace, you just want to give up. There's no song in your heart at all. You go through the motions of church. You go through the motions of trying to be a Christian, but really, there's nothing. It's gone. What stops you getting into that place? I'm going to tell you. Let me read this verse of scripture again from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Do you know what the secret is to disappointment not becoming discouragement? Hope. I said to you that the Holy Spirit is disappointed. He is. But can I say this? The Holy Spirit is also greatly encouraged. And he's full of hope. He's hoping that people today will get saved. He's hoping that people will come and give their lives to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is moving in every nation, every tribe, every village. The Holy Spirit is moving in the lives of people because he is not giving up on hope. Come on. Hope is a wonderful thing. And hope is what we build our faith on. You can't have faith without hope. Come on. You can have hope without faith, because hope and faith are two different things. But you build on your hope, your faith. Hope is like the foundation on which faith is built. So I want to keep on hoping. Yes. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better all the time. Yes. Now you may say, you hope you are. Well, yes. Yes, that's exactly what I do. Come on. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better all the time. I'm hoping for better things. Hoping for better things for you. hoping for better things for this world, hoping for better things for our nation. I'm hoping. I'm a Christian, so I'm going to be filled with the hope of God and not with discouragement. In fact, I let disappointment drive me to hope. You see, when you come to disappointment, you come to a crossroads. That side is discouragement. That side is hope. I'm disappointment. Which am I going to take? Well, I'm not going to take discouragement because I know what happens there, and I know what discouragement is because I've been discouraged before. I know what it is to lose hope. I know what it is to lose trust. I know what it is. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it again. I want to keep choosing hope. And I don't care how many times I have to choose it, I'm going to keep on choosing it. Glory to God. So there you go. What a great message that was. Because you're in Jesus. He's your foundation. He's there. By the way, are you glad that Jesus got disappointed but never got discouraged? Come on, you think of the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweat blood. He could have given up so easily. Was he disappointed? My, he was. He knew that Judas Iscariot, one of his followers for 3 years, was now betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. He knew he was coming with some soldiers who had swords ready to take him. He knew that he was going to be beaten and tortured, brutalized, and put to death. He knew that. And in the garden, he sweat blood. And this is what he says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He did say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What caused that prayer? Hope. Hope that he knew that when he died, he'd redeem millions of people to the Lord. You're his hope. In fact, the Bible says you're the joy that's set before him. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on hoping. I'm going to keep on trusting. And if God's spoken to you today and you feel discouraged or down, climb out through the Word of God. Let me read two more scriptures as I close just now. Beautiful scriptures. One is from 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. This is a lovely little scripture. Oh, I got the wrong scripture there. I must have put the wrong one up. Sorry. And the scripture I'm looking for says, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. That's, and then there's this one, come to me, all you, and this is from Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden light. This is Jesus talking. He's never going to ask you to bear the burden that he bore at Calvary. He did it. He rose from the grave and he's saying, now you could take my, come, yoke yourself with me. Take my burden. And Peter says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Listen now as I close. If you're downcast, if you're feeling tormented, if you're feeling it's a hopeless situation, well, I want you to take that, your cares, and cast them on Jesus. Literally, right now, cast them on Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm not going to let this thing drag me down. I'm putting my hope and my trust and my confidence in you. I refuse to be discouraged. I want to be encouraged today. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. I believe somebody here, and I can't see very well, but I believe somebody here needs prayer because you're down, because you're discouraged. And if you say to me, oh, that word didn't concern me today, John, because I'm not discouraged, no, and that's good. But hang on to this word, because the day is going to come when the devil's going to try to get you discouraged. He's not going to leave you alone for long. He's going to want every one of you to be discouraged and turn away from God. To be discouraged so you don't pray. To be discouraged so you don't sing the songs of God and worship Him. To be discouraged so that you walk away. Well, no, we don't want that. We're staying encouraged. But if there's somebody here that's discouraged or hurting, I want to pray for you. So everybody just close your eyes just now, please. Everybody close your eyes. If this word is spoken to you and you say, yeah, it's me you're talking to. I'm discouraged. I need a prayer. Just raise your hand so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Anybody else? I need a... Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to say a prayer. I really feel God is talking to you today, and He loves you, and He sees your condition. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. He sees where you're at, and He loves you no matter what. Come on, let Him lift you today. I'm going to ask once more, then I'm going to pray. Is there anybody else that needs the prayer? Just raise your hand if there's anybody else. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray right now. Father, for all those who raise their hand, Lord, you know what's going off in their life. You know what they're facing right now, Lord. You know the things that's crept in, that the enemy has brought in. I pray, Lord, that each person who raised their hand will recognize very clearly that though they can't control what's happening around them, by the grace of God, they can control what's happening in them. So right now, Lord, I pray for a prayer of hope for them. Right now. Let your hope fill them now. That discouragement will just disappear. Dissipate. Go in the name of Jesus. And I pray as your hope starts to build within them, joy and peace will return. Sense of well-being, a sense of security in you will return to each person. And Lord, I pray for those who didn't raise their hand. Because Lord, at the moment, perhaps we're not going, we see a lot of disappointment, but at the moment, and discouragement rather, but we're not discouraged, Lord. We see the disappointment, but we're not letting it get to us. I pray we never will. I pray that each one of us right now will say, Lord, I refuse to be a victim of circumstances. I want to be a product of your cross. That's what I want, to be a product of the cross, knowing that Jesus died for me and He defeated on my behalf sin, sickness, weakness, failings, death, hell, and Satan. Jesus defeated it on the cross, all those things for me. So I refuse to be a victim of my circumstances. You are the one who's cleansed me and washed me from sin, and you're the one who causes me to walk before you. Receive my thanksgiving. Receive my grateful heart, Lord, for what you've done. May this church continue to grow and flourish in you. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Thank you. Stay enough coffee and tea with us in fellowship.